And the Shir is Leila Nishma Safran Ben Asha Ansha. You heard the sound of the shofar this morning. We're back to work, back to Limud HaTorah, back to Metzim, another year of growing Beruchlius, and B'gashmas a little bit, I see. So Metzim will reinaugurate the Shirim this morning. So we actually left off right before the summer, just barely scratching the surface in terms of the Malach Bishol. I think we're fair enough to pretty much almost like recap a little bit and restart again in terms of the Malach Bishol. And Malach Bishol, out of all the Malachas, probably takes up the most discussion, with the exception of Hapsal, which is all the sense Erevin. But in terms of the other Lamatas Malachas, Bishol is a very, very major one, of course, with some very, very serious consequences for us at Bisman Hazeh. So let's try to understand some of the basic Yisodos in terms of the prohibition to cook, baking, etc., on Shabbos. Whenever we discuss the Malach Bishol, so we really have to talk about it almost from two different vantage points. We have to talk about the Dover HaMivashel and the Dover HaMizbashel. We have to talk about the source of heat and the water and those items that are involved in the process of cooking up the food. And then we have to talk about it from the vantage point of the food that itself is being cooked. So we'll begin with the Dover HaMivashel in terms of what is necessary to be present in order for a bishul to take place. So to have my raw food, to have my food that's going to be potentially cooked, what is necessary to be able to be mevashel, to be able to cook that food. So here the Gemara tells us a yisod in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos. It's a one-liner in the middle of a sugya in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, but it really sets the stage for everything we're going to talk about for sure today and then well into the next couple of weeks also. The Gemara draws a distinction in halacha between what's called the kli rishon and a kli sheni. The Gemara tells us that normal bishul, imagine normal bishul, so you have a source of heat, you have a fire, and you have a pot of water, and you throw a raw egg into that pot of water, throw a piece of raw chicken into that pot of water. That's classic bishul. So that water is critical, because that water is what's called in halacha a kli rishon. What makes something a kli rishon? If it is on the fire, I'm going to rephrase that in a moment, but if it's sitting on the fire right now, so that's called a kli rishon. An extension of that idea of kli rishon, is what the Gemara Mishnah, that the third Rebbe Shabbat speaks about, is that what if it's not on the fire anymore, but at least at one time it was on the fire? So that's called also a kli rishon. The first example is what's called the kli rishon she'al gabi ha'esh. That means it's a kli rishon that's sitting on the fire right now in the present. And then you have the secondary kind of a kli rishon shelo agabi ha'esh. That means at one time it was on the fire, but it's no longer on the fire. So both of those types of kli rishon, both agabi ha'esh and off the fire, both of them have the ability to cook. So if a person takes a raw piece of chicken or an egg or any other kind of not yet cooked food and throws it into either a kli rishon agabi ha'esh or into a kli rishon shelo agabi ha'esh, that's an outright prohibition. There's no question about it. That is also an explicit mishnah in the third breath of the Sefer Shabbos. That is clearly awesome. However, the Gemara then goes one step further. What if one took the contents of that pot and emptied it into another receptacle? You pour that into a bowl, you pour that into a cup. And now I take raw food and I try to cook the raw food in that second item. That's what's called, obviously, a klisheni, because the contents have already been emptied into a second receptacle. So the Gemara says, one fell swoop, klisheni ate a mevashel. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay, everything's wonderful. Klisheni ate a mevashel. Bishul can't take place. It just is not halakhically going to be effective in a klisheni, and therefore, presumably, there's nothing at all to worry about. So if you would simply walk away from this Gemara, you would now realize there are three elements. There's a klisheni gabi ha'esh, which is also, klisheni shelo gabi ha'esh, which is also also, and a klisheni, which is mutlak achira. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. However, don't walk away from that yet. Please hang in there for a couple of weeks before you start being Michal Shabbos, the Rice, and the Rabbanim, depending on what we're talking about. Hang in, because that kula, klisheni and mevashel, has to be analyzed to the point when we're going to have not too much left of it. So let's hang in there in terms of putting into practice what we just learned. But let's go back just to the basic yisod, the basic principle in terms of lamdus, which is going to set the stage for the lemaisa. Just in terms of the basic lamdus, why is there such a distinction? What is this idea based on? Why is it that a kli rishon has the ability to cook something and a kli sheni doesn't have that ability? What is that based on exactly? So this is a major question that all the rishonim and acharonim have posed, and many, many different answers have been given. And each one of the answers is going to have some important nuances to have. So what is the answer to this question? It's a very, very strange problem. Why is it that if it's cliché shown, it's a problem? If it's cliché, it's not a problem. This is clearly not only a discussion of temperature of the water, because already, as Tosfos points out, you can have a situation where you have a cliché that may actually be hotter than a cliché. If you started out, the cliché started out at 200 degrees, and now you pour that content into a cliché, so it's down to 198 degrees, that may be hotter than the cliché that's only at 180 degrees, a different cliché. So temperature clearly is not the only fact that's playing out here. One halachic characteristic is responsible for this idea that Kli Rishon is Mevashel, has a problem with Kli Sheni, in effect, ain't a Mevashel. So one suggestion is given based on a comment of the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi, and whenever you have Rishalmi, you always run into this problem that we're never quite sure what the Rishalmi says, because sometimes the Gersos of the Rishalmi are questionable, sometimes just the understanding, just the Taich of the Rishalmi is difficult, and we don't have a clear cut, you know, we don't have Garashi on the Rishalmi, over Taz on the Rishalmi, so sometimes we're trying to reconstruct what the Rishalmi meant, but we're going to present the Rishalmi that at least many, many interpreted the Rishalmi in the following manner. But the Rishalmi tells us the following solution to this problem, that going back to the first two definitions, the first two categories of Kli Rishon, we presented it as Kli Rishon al Gabi Eish and Kli Rishon Shelo al Gabi Eish, and we lumped the two into one. We said them in the same breath, and we said, well, this is Bishlam, that's Bishlam, and we quoted the Mishnah Mishnah Shabbos. We were very confident with connecting the two cases. And comes Yushalmi and draws a distinction between the two. Comes Yushalmi and says that the only time Bishul de Araisa is ever violated is if the Kli Rishon is on Gabia Eish Mamish. In order for Bishul de Araisa to take effect, it has to be not just hot water, there has to be a flame present at the time. So if you have a pot of water sitting on a flame, the flame is on, and you take a raw chicken and throw it into that pot, that is Bishul Deraisa. If the fire is off, even though the pot is still a Kli Rishon, it's been removed from the fire has been turned off, that's still called a Kli Rishon, but argues the Rishami, that kind of Bishul would only be Dirabbanan anyway. The whole thing is only a Gezeir of the Kli Rishon. The Bishul of the Torah, the Bishul of the Mishkan, the Bishul that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the Lama Tes Malachas, the Bishul only applies Minat Torah if and when a flame is present. In the absence of a flame, we are only talking about a Derabbanan in the first place. If that's the case, then I understand exactly why there should be a distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Yerushalmi has a phrase, Asur HaChoka L'Kli Rishon, L'Asur HaChoka L'Kli Sheni. That Minat Torah, Bishul is only violated when it's the flame is on. The Dirabbanan, they made a gezeira, if the flame was once on under this kli, that's still a problem, because if you're going to cook it a kli rishon shelo gabi eish, the next thing you can do is cook it a kli rishon a gabi eish. But klisheni is already so far removed. So gezeira, klisheni is so far removed from the deraisadika model of Bishul, therefore it's not even a problem at all, even the Dirabbanan. What comes out according to Rishami, the categories make a lot of sense. There are three different categories, Deraisa, Derabbanan, and Mutter. Those are the categories that we're familiar with in Hilchos Shabbos, and everything fits in beautifully. But the reason why there's a distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is not because of temperature, but simply because of the absence of a fire, or the absence ever of a fire. So if the fire is present, that's Deraisa. The fire one time is present, that's Derabbanan. If the fire was it's already so far removed, it's already Kli Sheni, so then it's not even prohibited in the Derabbanan. That's the Rishabbos presentation. The only question is this accepted? Do we follow this Rishami? There's no zecher of this, no mention of this anywhere in the Talmud Bavli. So there are Rishonim, primarily the Ran and Masechah Shabbos, who claims that it's a very nice Pshat in the Rishami, but it's not accepted l'halacha, because we have a rule that whenever there's a machlekes, the Bavli and Rishami, so we always follow what it says in the Bavli. Almost always follow what it says in the Bavli. The only problem is, where does it say in the Bavli? Otherwise, is there a Gemara explicitly that undermines this Rishami's Pshat? So the Ran says, no matter where you turn in Shas, you'll find Gemaras that disagree with this Rishami. Because it's Pesachta, if you're looking at Baba Kami, you're probably not going to find anything. So you have to look around and figure out what the Ran is talking about. So the Ran probably had in the back of his mind a couple of Gemaras that don't say it. Amish black and white, but seem to indicate that this Rishami is very, very questionable. So one of the Gemaras that that Ron is referring to, which is going to become very, very significant for us, practically speaking, of Shabbos, is actually a Mishnah towards the end of Masechet Shabbos. If you make it till the 27th breath of Masechet Shabbos, and you're still going, you're still breathing, so you'll bump into this Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about the following situation, about taking hot water and pouring hot water onto an uncooked item, and it's not clear exactly where this water is coming from. Is this water coming from a Kli Rishon? Is it coming from a Kli Sheni? And we're going to hopefully talk about a lot of these things as we go on. But you're taking water out of a kettle, out of an urn or something, and you're pouring it onto uncooked food. So the Mishnah says that if that type of food is what's called Kali Habishal, if it's a very, very easily kind of cooked food, and the Mishnah actually gives you one or two examples of these salty little fish and other kinds of very, very docusting, very, very thin kinds of foods that can easily be cooked. So the Mishnah says, then you're in trouble. Then you're in violation of Nisa Deraisa, even though it may not even be a Kli Rishon, it's for sure not on the fire. You're pouring water out of some receptacle, could be 17 times removed from the fire. It doesn't matter. If it's Kali Habishal, if it's something that's very, very easy to be cooked, so then that trumps everything, and that would be Issa Goma Midaraisa. So the Ran says, if the Yerushalmi's model is correct, that Bishul Deraisa requires a flame, Kleitel Yav, Kach, Nimsa, Meisha, Beit, that is the definition of Bishul in the Torah, is the presence of a flame. How in the world can the Bavli discuss being Chayav? But there's no flame. There's no flame anywhere near this item. This is 20 times removed already. It's been poured onto the item, but since it's not a Bishul, it's subject to Bishul. So how can that be? How can the Yerushalmi say such a thing? It must be that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. That's one of the rayas of the Ran. So the truth is that the Bavli never says explicitly that Yechayev Bishul Bishul. The Bavli says Yechayev, all right, for pouring hot water onto this kind of a food, but the Bavli never says it's Bishul. What Malacha could possibly do? It's Kosev. What Malacha is, it's Chorish. So come some Acharim and say, no, we have the wrong Malacha. We thought it was Bishul, we're learning a different Malacha. What the Bavli refers to is a different Malacha. It's called Malacha's Maka Bepatish. It's called fixing something that's broken. The Mishnah is describing, the Gemara is describing a very, very salty kind of a food. It's very, very hard to eat the food in the state that it's in right now. But if you pour boiling water onto it, so that's going to fix the food. And fixing the food is going to be a Torah violation, not of Bishul. It cannot possibly be a Torah violation of Bishul because there's no flame. The Malacha that's involved, believe it or not, is Macha Mepatish. You're fixing something broken. What's the difference between, let's say I have a leg of a shtender that fell off, so I screw it back in. That's a malacha deraisa, fixing macha patish. What's the difference between that and taking a salty food and throwing it into a pot and pouring some water on it and making it now edible? Taking inedible food and making it edible. So some argue that's a malacha of Yerba Malacha Bishul, that's a malacha of macha patish. So the Mishnah Berurah has a long attack against that view. He says, we never heard of such a thing, macha patish. That's the wrong malacha. The only malacha by food that's relevant for us is bishul. And the Bavli says yechayev, it means yechayev for bishul even without a flame. So it's a very, very difficult view that some achronim have. The pashas of the Dvarim is that the Ram is right, that the Bavli doesn't seem to buy into the Yerushalmi. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is there's another Gemara that also seems to indicate that a flame is just not so important. It's not as critical as the Yerushalmi seem to present it to be. And for this, we have to cross over into a different area of halacha. Whenever you learn the Lamed as halacha, so it's always important to reference other areas of halacha where the same concepts exist. So when you're learning the halacha of kosei, so you're going to have to learn sugyas that relate to writing, sekhetarot, or mezuzahs. When you're learning the sugyas, we've seen this a little bit in the past, when you learn the sugyas of zereya, so you have to talk about zereyas kelayim. When you learn the sugyas of lisha, you have to talk about tafresh chala. So there's going to be an overlap in terms of halachic principles, halachic categories. They're going to spread to other areas of halacha as well. So when you're dealing with bishul, it's hard to say shir and bishul b'shabbos without referencing other areas of bishul, such as, for example, bishul bosa b'cholov. So this is getting close to my heart this year, because the shir is learning the 7th and 8th paragraph, as far as we get in the Masechet Chul this year. So you may hear a little bit of references to some sugyas of your day this year. It's just quite possible you may not want to do with them. So the first one's going to be right now. So the beginning of the 8th paragraph of Masechet Chulin, so the Gemara discusses Bishul Bas B'chol, Sevashel, yes, that's Bashel. So Sevashel Tidi B'chalav Imo. There's a Nisa Bishul Bas B'chol, there's a Achilles, you're not allowed to eat Bas B'chol. So what's considered to be bos mechol of the Torah, and what is to be bos mechol of the Raisa, it has to be derech bishul. It has to have undergone a process of bishul together. Not all that different from bishul b'Shabbos. Let's say, for example, a person takes a cold slice of pastrami, and they take a cold piece of cheese, and they make a sandwich. So min haTorah, that's okay. Midaraisa, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not derech bishul. I didn't advocate doing that. I'm just saying that midaraisa, that's okay. That's not called derech bishul. But if you cook the two together, that becomes a problem. So the Gemara, in the beginning of the 8th paragraph of Kulam, is trying to highlight the situation of a bishul gama min haTorah, a real makor, giving an example of a real super duper duper bishul bas b'chol. So the reason why the Gemara is trying to find the deraisa, we observed the Rabbanim also, the reason why the Gemara is trying to find the deraisa is for the following reason. There's a gezeira mid the Rabbanim that you're not allowed to eat flesh and simuchas on the same table. So if I'm sitting down and I'm having my hamburger and you're having a slice of pizza a few inches away, so that's a problem. But the Rabbanan, that's what the Mishnah says in the 8th Pek of Chulin. So you're not allowed to have flesh and simuchas on the same table at the same time. So that is violent either if we're eating together or even if we're not eating together. Let's say there's a slice of pizza sitting on the table and I'm having a hamburger and no one else is eating the pizza. That's also a problem. You can't have slices and milkings on the same table together. As a gezeir, you may come to eat them together. The Gemara tells us that the only way to get around, one of the ways to get around this problem, is if you make a heker, if you make a recognition, you make a sign, you do something out of the ordinary, then that would be okay. So that's why. So if you put something down at the table that's not usually there, so that would be all right. Or if you put down a special place mat or something, so and then it's clear, it's a demarcation, who's eating flesh and who's eating things. So the Poskim write, if you put something on the table, it's not usually there. Let's say, if I'm going to put a bottle of soda on the table. I always drink soda. I'm not saying a person always drinks soda, put soda on the table. That's not a heck of. So you got to put something strange. You got to put a bottle of a mouthwash on the table or something you wouldn't usually put on the table. So that would count as a heck of. I've told this over in the past. We always had this problem in the dorm when myself and my illustrious roommate Rabbi Raff, Shulika. So those who know what the must dorms look like, there's a little table in the middle and there's not that room to put all that much stuff. And everything pretty much was on that table. So we had mouthwash and deodorants and you name it, was on the small table. And sometimes we'd sit down and eat supper in the room. So sometimes I'd be eating flesh, and he'd be eating milk, he's vice versa. So we always had that problem. What could we possibly put on the table that would serve as a heck? So we have a rap, came up with a chedesh. We thought that maybe we should clean off the table. He said, that would be a gavala to heck. We're walking, wow, the table in the dorm is empty. It must be something crazy going on. It must be the flesh and milk. So, getting back to that story. So, in the discussion of the intricacies of this Issa Derabanan of having places and looks at the same on the same table at the same time, so the Gemara says as follows: that Chazal never would have made this gezeira if there wouldn't be a possibility of being an outright violation of Bas Mechol Derabanan. If it would only be a chashash of Bas Mechol Derabanan, they never would have made such a gezeira. It would have been a gezeira. It would have been too far fetched. The Gemara says, let's find the case. How could this possibly be derabanan? I'm eating my hot dog, and you're eating your pasta and cheese. What could possibly be deraisa? How could anything go wrong in a Torah? What are we afraid of? We're afraid that I'm going to take a bite of your pasta with my hot dog. That's not derech bishul. That wouldn't be a deraisa anyway. So what are we saying? It's so getting so excited about this is the rabbanan, and I can't eat my hot dog. You're eating your pasta and cheese. What's going to go wrong anyway? So the Gemara says, no. What we're afraid is that we may end up actually cooking the pasta together with the hot dog. That may be the problem. What does that mean? I'm eating in a cliche, and you're eating a cliche. I'm eating in a bowl, and you're eating in a bowl. So neither of these kinds of kalim are subject to bishul. So even, let's say I'm having a bowl of chont, and you're having, you're having a hot cup of milk or something. Worst case scenario, you're going to pour your milk into my chont. It's still not going to be deraisa, because the Gemara says cliche, and you're going to have a shell. The Gemara says, you're right. What we're afraid of is as follows. It could be, not that common, but there is a scenario of bishul deraisa that could take place at a table. Not in the kitchen, at the table. How could it be? Gezeira shemiyala be'ilfas rishon. We're afraid that I may be eating in a kli rishon, and you may be eating in a kli rishon. What would that mean? So I'm eating chult, I'm very yeshivish. I'm eating out of the pot. I'm not eating out of a bowl. I'm mamish. I took the whole crock pot. I put it down, and going, there's a good Thursday night to chill. I'm eating here. And you're eating out of a kli rishon also. What's your kli rishon? You're eating pasta and cheese out of the pot also. You have two shagoyim who are eating with the mouthwash on the table. You have two shagoyim who are eating out of the pot. I guess anything could happen. You have to check the books. There's a book about halachos of the dira. So those who are discussing the diras, I was very home to see what the dira looks like. I can understand why you can't agree. All of your day written for diras in Eretz Yisrael. Good reason for that, say. So I'm eating out of a pot of children. You're eating out of a pot of pasta and cheese. So now something could probably go wrong. We could theoretically mix up some of the food in one to another, and that would be a problem. And that would be the Bishul Derais. So Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Since we discovered a case of Bishul Bas B'chol Derais, now we understand why Chazal made the Gezeira not deflecting the milk sitting on the table at the same time. Baruch Hashem for that one case. So come to Achbarim and say, wait a second, not so simple. Where's the Bishul Derais here? If the Rishali is right, that the only time there's Bishul Derais in Shabbos and Bas B'chol, the only areas of Halacha, the definition of Bishul in the Torah means literally a flame present, mamash a fire there, pshutu kemashmo. Where's the Derisa? Where's the Bishul Derisa? There's no fire. There's no flame present. So you see from the Bavli against Rishalmi. That's what the Ran meant. And you see from that Gemara in the Eid Ben Chumah, which is not even talking about Shabbos, it's talking about Kasheras. You see from that detail, Nuchas Bas B'chalav, that a flame is not so important. Could we possibly defend the Rishalmi? Could we possibly find a scenario? So whenever I hear this Kasher, I always think of the following, like the Chinese foods. When you have Chinese food delivered, so they deliver you with a little flame, a little sternos, a little flame under. So Hocham Ma'askin as follows. Listen, these two Shemisha guys. One guy's eating his, I need a good boss. Don't give me sesame chicken or something. I need some derisa here. Broccoli and beef or something. That or some good Chinese dish. So one guy's got his Chinese food delivered from chopsticks. So he's sitting at the table. Not only is the guy eating out of a pot, he's eating out of a pot that's on a flame. So he's about eating out of a stew. The other guy got his milchiks. I don't know, what are you getting milchiks delivered on the flame? I guess something better. He got his pasta.
Fondue.
It's fondue, what is it?
Milky cheese and dipping stuff.
Good, okay. Could it be under a fire?
Yes.
Good. Has to be. Okay, so one guy's eating his broccoli and beef. The other guy's eating his fondue. He's eating on a Kli Rishon Agavi Eishin. The other guy's eating a Kli Rishon Agavi Eishin. And the two mixed together. Oh, that's the problem. There used to be Lahavah, there used to be the there was a commercial about years ago about the chocolate bar, I forgot how it goes, about the two chocolate bars that I mixed together, I forgot what it was. One guy's eating chocolate, one guy's eating peanut butter or something, I forgot. Okay, anyway, I just dated myself. So bottom line is that we just dated ourselves. So the bottom line is that's the official derisa. That's what Chazal was concerned about. It's quite a shock. But again, according to Rishalmi, there's no other way to explain where the Bishul Derais and there's no flame present. So the Rishalmi at least has a fighting chance to explain why Kli Rishon is also why Kli Sheni is Mutter. It's based on this theory that Bishul Derais requires an aid. But the truth is that probably nobody accepts this Rishalmi. Is that Rambam that maybe follows this Rishalmi, but Rubin, the other Rishalmi don't accept this. Generally speaking, this is not accepted. This whole theory of Rishalmi is not accepted. We assume that Bishul Derais can be violated even in the absence of an Eish. If that's the case, then back to square one. So then why is there a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? So there is some who suggest that maybe it's based on another principle we spoke about many times in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the idea of Avos and Toldos. That there are 39 Avos Malachos, there are 39 main categories of Malachos that are patterned after the Mishkan, but each one of the Avos has subcategories as well. There are categories of different actions that are awesome in HaTorah. One does it on Shabbos, a Chavski, a Karis, the works. It's a real Malachah D'Araisa, but it's not the actual Malachah practiced in Mishkan, or not the Rachosh of Mishkan, depending on how you define Avos and Toldos properly. And it's also in HaTorah, but it's one step removed. So this is D'Araisa, with Karis, with Skeel, etc. But it's still not quite the Av Malachah. It's not even clear, my Nafkamina, to what I'm just saying. Somebody should have to throw their hands up, we can't even find the Nafkamina. The Gemara itself tries to find Nafkamina, it's not so easy to find. But there is a concept called Avos and Toldos. There are some who suggest, I'm ashamed to say, that even though Bishul in the Kli Rishon, Shaloh Agabi Eish is a Deraisa, it's also in the Torah, not like the Rishon, it's also a Deraisa, but it's only the Torah's told, it's not the Torah's out, that it's so remarkably different from the way Bishul took place in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they cooked things in the fire, they didn't cook things in a Kli Rishon Shaloh Agabi Eish. So since there was always a fire present in Shas Bishul in the Mishkan, so the model of the Av Malacha is only when there's a fire. Whenever the fire has been removed, it's also been a Torah, not to the extreme of the Rishami, it's also been a Torah, but it's only been Torah's told and not been Torah's out. How does that help us? So some Acharonim, the Gital, coined the phrase that maybe when you have a Kli Sheni, that's called the Tolda of a Tolda. It's like a grandchild that's ready too far removed. The three generations. There's the Av, the father himself, the person himself, the real Malacha Derais, the real McCoy is Bishul Agavi Eish. If the fire has been turned off so that it's still Deraisa, but it's one step removed, when it's already a grandchild, it's already a Talmud atonement. Not only has the fire been removed, but it's already been removed to a different vessel. That's already so far removed from the original model of Bishul Deraisa that becomes permissible. That's what the base of the idea of cliche is all about. It's all an extension of the idea that it's not quite an av, it's not even quite told, it's already too far removed. So that distinction between Agabi Eish and Shelo Agabi Eish, is that an av, is that a told? That's a big, big question. And one of the controversial parts of that statement is back to the Gemara Masechus Chulin. The Gemara Chulin tells us that there's some kind of bas b'chov deraisa taking place at the table. Now, we don't want to start bringing those sternos again with the, not true, whatever you're reading, whatever it's called. We don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about normal. We're talking about normal Mishagar. We're talking about a normal person who's eating from a kli. He's eating from a pot, but he hasn't sunk to the point of eating from a pot with the fire underneath the pot. So he's eating from a pot, and that was a simple reading of the Gemara, but that's bas b'chov deraisa. According to what these Rishonim are saying, is that that's only a tolda. That's not the real thing. There's a big question in Rishonim. Does the concept of toldos spill over to Kol Torah Kula? Toldos of the Thousand Ruchos Shabbos. Is there a concept of subcategories in Kol Torah Kula? It's not like the Tyson of the Chayres and the Shem. That's a big, big question in Rishonim. So if we want to go down the route that once we've turned off the fire, we're only in the realm of toldos, that's going to be very, very shaky. So we may have to bring that fire back on under the Chinese food for a moment, according to this position. So basically what we're up to is we still have a big, big problem. We're still trying to solve this problem. How is it that Kli Rishon is a Nisagama, the Raisa, the Shani somehow hopeless focus becomes mutter? What changed? So the Yishami said, the fire was turned off. And that's all that changes with that time. But the others, the fire turning off doesn't change the Lagamre, it knocks it down to a Tolba, and then putting it to another pot, but it's another bowl, makes it mutter like a
table. Can you say Makarito? Can't you say Kultur Kula? Bishul doesn't require age, but by the
Mishnah,
he's doing the Mishnah.
So you're Mechav, the Shimon Kubat. Shimon Kubat's in the beginning of the Mechav, of course, Mari Katsu says like that. Tosef Mechav doesn't say that. Tosef Mechav says the other way around. The Tolbos is the Chiddush HaTorah, was only said by Shabbos, Kol Torah Kula, the starting point is only Avos Tolbos. So these were, I guess, we could almost call the least conventional Pshatim. We've done the Yerushalmi, we're not sure, the Kops of Mishan. What's the more popular answer to this question? So the more popular answer to this question is what's presented by Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos. Tosfos really throws out this question as, how are you doing? How can it be that the Rishon is also a cliche, is mutar, where magic, hocus pocus, what changed? So Tosfos says what changed is as follows. But even though theoretically you could have water in a cliche that's hotter than the Kli Rishon has something that a Kli Rishon doesn't have. And that's what's called defunos mechamnos. That Kli Rishon was on the fire. That's the definition of Kli Rishon. It was a pot that was on the fire, and therefore the walls of the pot are hot. Unlike a Kli Sheni that was never on the fire, therefore the walls of the Kli Sheni are cold. Says Tosfos, that makes all the difference in the world. It's not so important. It's not as important where you are right now. What's even more important is what direction you're going. Are you going hot or are you going cold? A Kli Rishon is still pointing in the direction of getting hot. A Chusheni is always pointing in the direction of getting cold. So if you're on the spectrum, it doesn't matter so much where you are on the spectrum. What matters is the direction that you're going. I always quote this Tosfos in the world of Musa. This is Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is very, very important. You can have two guys, you know, standing Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they're the exact same point in terms of Avodas Hashem. The only problem is that one guy used to be really, really hot, and now he's on the way cooling down. The other guy used to be really, really cold, is on the way heating up. So they may be maybe at the same point on the line, but they're going in different directions. So to make sure, not only where you are, but make sure you're going in the right direction. There's the famous marshal, I think you've given it probably once or twice over Shana. The famous marshal about a fellow wants to go on a boat. He's supposed to go east on a boat. So he goes to the dock. He says, I want to go on a boat to go east. He said, there's no boat going east. All the boats are going west. He says, okay, I'll go west. So he goes west, and he stands, before Columbus put it, realized that he'll end up east also. So he's going west, and he stands all the way at the edge of the boat, the other edge of the boat, the direction the boat's not going. So somebody asks him, what are you doing? We're hanging over the edge of the boat. So I want to go east. So he said, this way, at least I'm furthest east as possible on the boat, as I can possibly go. So he said to me, Shaita, he said, you can stand there for the heart, but the boat's going west. So you're standing 6 inches away, going east, the Gorish Galpin, the boat's going in the wrong direction. I remember the first time I heard this mushroom Osman Shlita tell us on Rosh Hashanah night many, many years ago. He said, you know, Rosh Hashanah, so sometimes we say, oh, we're good, man. I'm very good. I'm in my little corner, you know, in Avedis Hashem. You're on the boat going the wrong way. The boat's going that way, and you're supposed to go that way. So it's not going to help you to stand up with 6 inches over. You got to get on the right boat. You got to make sure you go in the right direction. So that's what Tosfos says. The same idea. Tosfos says that what's more important than Bishul is which direction the water is going. If it's going hotter, so that's going to be a problem of Bishul. If it's going down, that's going to solve the problem of Bishul. That's the Yisod HaYisod. So that idea, next week we'll pick up with, but this idea of the Fodos Bechanos, the Fodos Bekaros, this is going to set the stage for many, many, many discussions with Laisa. And we have a little bit more. We have a fourth possible Mahalach for this level also. Hopefully, next week we're going to take, well, this week was mostly Lomdos. We'll take everything we said from Yishamis to Tolus to Toldos to Taisim to other Mahalachim and try to see Tachlis. And how does this spill over? How does this carry over in terms of practice speaking with the Yishamis? Okay.